Our first lesson is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 19. And Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God then said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. O Lord, have mercy upon us." The second lesson is Genesis 22:15-18. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The third lesson is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The fourth lesson is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The fifth lesson is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The sixth lesson is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The seventh lesson is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The eighth lesson is from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The ninth lesson is the Gospel, John chapter 1, 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is the Gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many parts to the story of the first Christmas. In our gospel lesson for Christmas Eve, the evangelist Matthew tells us about Joseph's side of the Christmas story. I have become a father 3 times, so I can relate to Joseph's anxiety before the first Christmas. A first-time father worries. Will everything be ready when the newborn arrives? Well, I can give this advice to a first-time father. No, not everything's going to be ready. 9 months is not enough time for everything you might want to do. Stick to the basics, like a separate room for the baby, if possible, a crib with its pads and linens, a changing table, very important, a chest of drawers for the clothes, and these days, a baby monitor, so you can hear the baby when he or she cries. And the most important invention of the 21st century, with its mission-critical function, the diaper genie. And let the mom worry about the rest. Joseph had to take care of the first century equivalent of all that stuff. Plus, he had to deal with the very difficult situation of not expecting to be expecting. You see, Mary did not tell Joseph ahead of time, as far as we can tell from what the scriptures tell us. In Matthew 1:18, in this gospel, it says, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found. That's third person. She was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. That means that somebody found out that Mary was going to have a child before she told Joseph. And whoever that was told Joseph. Now put yourself into Joseph's shoes. He had not had relations with Mary, as the gospel clearly says. He had not talked with Mary about his discovery. He thought he knew for sure that Mary had conceived this child by another human father. Well, in a sense, this was true because Jesus was conceived by a father, but a heavenly one. He is the same Father to whom we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." In any event, the child was not Joseph's. The right thing to do was to have Mary take a trip to her relatives, where she would have the baby quietly and then put it up for adoption. Joseph would then divorce from Mary legally, and then she would be available to wed another man or fend for herself as best as she could. And that, as I just described it, was the most lenient course of action according to Jewish law. Now I wonder why Joseph did not talk to Mary about their problem. After all, it was their problem, not just his. I think it was because as soon as he found out about the baby, he had written off Mary in his own mind. He probably thought, well, if Mary did that, then I can't trust her with anything. I can't trust a word she says. Why should I even talk to her? I'll make up my own mind. Husbands, learn from Joseph's mistake. Any problem you have in life is not just your problem. It is a problem for both of you to solve together. Two minds are better than one, they say. You know, this two minds feature of marriage was created by God for your benefit, husbands. Remember Joseph's mistake and listen to your wives. That doesn't mean you should obey your wife. That's a reversal of God's order. But you do need to listen to her, and that is God's order. Joseph was just being an obtuse, non-communicative husband. And while he was still deciding what to do, the real father stepped in. God the Father sent a messenger angel to Joseph and said, "Stop! Don't send Mary away. Don't divorce her. The baby is God's child, and he needs a human father to protect, care, and nurture him on earth. When he is born, you need to call him Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins." So we know Joseph obeyed God, and he talked to Mary. And then the two began to make plans for their baby and their new life together. A first century Jew, hearing the announcement of the angel, would know what it meant. "You and I are Gentiles, and we might miss the significance." So the evangelist Matthew throws in an Old Testament text into the narrative to explain what's going on here. It is a reference to Isaiah 7, 10 to 17. The story goes like this. King Ahaz of Judea was being an obtuse, non-communicative king. As a king of the people of Israel, his job was to seek God's counsel through the prophets on a regular basis, as well as offering up prayers on the people's behalf. Well, King Ahaz thought he had everything figured out. He had his cabinet of advisors, trained in the arts of war and commerce and agriculture, etc. He didn't need the counsel of a bunch of dusty old prophets. And this attitude toward the prophets was common among the kings of Israel and Judah, and it kept getting worse as the years went on. After a couple of years of being ignored, the prophet Isaiah had had enough. He came before the king and politely asked him to seek God's counsel. The king refused, whereupon Isaiah said in so many words, "Okay, if you and your sons are going to ignore God's counsel, God is going to give you his words, commands, and promises anyway. Here is how you and our people will know that God's word has finally come. A virgin will conceive a child without a man and bear a son. He will be given a name that means God's word has come among us." From that day, when Isaiah gave that prophecy in the king's court, the believers in Israel and Judah look forward to the coming of a child by virgin birth, whose name would mean God's word has come among us. No longer would the king seek the counsel of the prophets for the word of God. Instead, God himself would walk among them and talk to his own people. It was a wonderful vision and a hopeful sign. The only question that the Old Testament believers then had was, "How long, O Lord, how long until this happens?" And they had to wait a long time from Isaiah, nearly 700 years. Believers today also wonder, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Belief in God and the practice of religion is fading away in Europe and North America. Christian morality is being overthrown in this country year by year. Many churches are being corrupted from the inside out. People no longer seek the counsel of God from his word. They have their expert advisors on TV, on the internet, and Facebook, and the universities. Who needs the dusty old Bible and those prophets and apostles, they think? Well, things could get worse than this, and it might. How long till Jesus returns? Do you know? Nobody knows. It could be 7 days from now. You might not make 2019. It could be 7 years from now. It could be 700 years. It's already been over 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. How much longer until he returns? How long, O Lord? How long? Well, since we don't really know how long till Jesus returns, you and I simply need to constantly be ready. It's like having in-laws from out of state who never announce when they're going to visit you. It means that your house is always in order, relatively clean, that you have a bed and blankets and towels and an overnight kit ready for their visit at any time. Joseph and Mary were ready for Jesus when he was born. Will you be ready when Jesus returns to this earth in all his glory? In Jesus' name, amen.